This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. You know the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Hey, y'all. Welcome to the next message in the series called The Missing Ingredient. Today, we're talking about joy. Our message series comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, a prayer of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, where he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In that song, this joy that I have, you can replace joy with peace, this peace that I have, with hope, this hope that I have, with love, this love that I have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. But how many of us know that sometimes it feels like joy and hope and peace are missing ingredients in our lives? Thus, the sermon series, The Missing Ingredient. And in the last message, Micah spoke on hope and asked the question, like, what's that one seasoning that we just can't live without? Got me all mouthwatered thinking about recipes. And I know I love to cook. My wife says, well, why don't you prove it? That's another conversation, another sermon series. But I love to cook, and I particularly love to pull down recipes from, you know, my mom on those little index cards that got grease stains all on them, you know, because can't nobody touch mom's mac and cheese. I'm still waiting to battle with you, Juanisha Schaefer. You know, can't nobody touch, you know, mom's cream cheese pound cake unless your name is Jackie Williams. By all means, Jackie, you win with that rum walnut pound cake thing that you used to make. Lord have mercy. Recipes that have been passed down from generation. Anybody got a recipe that's been passed down from one generation to the next? One where you don't mind telling people the meal, but you're not going to give them the step-by-step. And sometimes, even if you give people the step-by-step, they still need some advice on how to pull it off. Some recipes are just better when you take the chef's advice. But human nature for us, brothers and sisters, avoids taking advice. We're like those folks who think that we know it all. Yeah, we look at the recipe and say, yeah, no, I don't need that. I'll do this, I'll do that. And we figure we got this thing all figured out. You don't believe me? How many of us take in that advice that is so plentiful about maintaining good health? Or how about the advice about getting out of debt? How about the advice of discipling or disciplining your children? Or the advice that's plentiful about maintaining a strong relationship with your spouse? Or how about the advice of improving your golf swing? Last month, my family and another family, we went to Top Golf, shameless plug. Wonderful, fun place, kind of expensive. Bring your own snacks, don't tell nobody. While you're there, though, they give you some tutoring if you need it. I didn't need the tutoring because our family friends came with their own golf clubs and golf gloves and shoes and everything. We had all of the advice that we could stand. But even as they were trying to coach me on how to swing and keeping my elbow locked and my hips, you know, locked in, it's like, okay, that's all good. I'm going to follow my own advice, and I'm going to do my best hitting this thing. And you know what else? My wife going to look good in that dress that she wore to Top Golf to play golf. Who else does that? Nobody, but she still looked good swinging that golf club. You know, there's some advice that's not really detrimental to our health, like if we miss the flour in some pancakes, but could be more detrimental if we let go of that golf club to somebody else's health. Now you know I'm not talking about a recipe today or any kind of sport advice. I'm talking about our faith. Earlier this year, I identified that joy was a missing ingredient in my walk with the Lord when I took the Christian Life Profile. Dr. Hines introduced this profile where we could ask ourselves some questions in three main areas: our virtues, our values, and our beliefs, all from a Christian perspective, where we answer questions, rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 5. We also give that, you know, test to somebody else to rate us, sort of an outward view on ourselves. We add up all the points and see what's missing in your life. And joy was one of the top three things this brother was missing. Now, there was only a handful of people that knew this before now. Now, all of y'all know that joy is a missing ingredient in my life. There were some questions that came up that I had challenges answering honestly. Well, not just answering honestly, but just answering them. Questions about, like, number one, I have inner contentment even when things go wrong. Sometimes I get kind of flustered and frustrated. Number two, life circumstances do not dictate my mood. I love all those little emojis now, you know, hashtag mood, you know, chilling on the couch, or hashtag mood, got some fried chicken, you know what I'm saying? They're fun, right? Number three, I'm excited about the sense of purpose I have for my life. Rather than life being pulling us along the way and our purpose not being well defined, you know, the opposite side, if we had joy, would be that we would experience an excitement about that purpose. Number four, I can be content with the money and possessions I now have. Now, again, I'm just being honest. Joy was not at the top of the list of strengths in this assessment. It was at the bottom of areas that I am lacking. Now, understand this also. This came at a time when things were good in life. The church had acquired a permanent facility. My kids are healthy. My wife's enjoying trying to make a hobby into a business or a career, or something that she enjoys fully. And all of this was happening to a good degree. It ought to produce a lot of joy if circumstances alone could produce joy. You know, it's one thing to assess your life on joy when times are good. It's another thing to assess them in times in your life when things are not good. Now, on this year-long journey through joy, I've been looking up scriptures and trying to get some understanding about joy. And when I read about joy from King David in the Psalms, I discover that King David had a lot to say about joy. Some 70 times the word joy, or an allusion to it, or you know, uses the word rejoice, is mentioned in the Psalms 70 times. David talked about having joy over sorrow, or joy found in the presence of God. In the Gospels, Jesus talked about joy, saying that we could experience joy to the fullest, and that we would be complete, or that the kingdom of God is like a person who sold everything that they had so that they could get this one little piece of the kingdom, and they had joy in doing it. Or in the epistles, the letters of the apostles, Paul writes again in Romans that the kingdom of God is not about comfort, celebration, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And probably the most familiar passage when you hear that word joy and try to discover what does the Bible have to say about joy, is probably James chapter 1. Now, if you're thinking about advice and taking advice from somebody, what I sort of was struck by in reading King David and Jesus and the apostles is that they wrote about joy when the circumstances of life suggested otherwise. Like, they shouldn't be joyful. King David wrote about joy when he was being pursued by King Saul. So before he became king, King Saul was king. He was chasing him because he didn't like the favor that David was having in winning battles and you know, building up a large following. He also wrote about joy when his own son was trying to overtake his throne. Jesus wrote about joy when he had no home to lay his head in, no place to call his own. Paul writes about joy from prison. And James writes about joy as the shepherd of the early church in Jerusalem when they are being persecuted by the Roman Empire and ostracized by Jews who did not believe in Jesus. When you read in the book of Acts that they shared all things in common, they did that certainly because they held their possessions loosely and understanding that everything they had came from God, but it was also out of necessity. People were losing their jobs. They were losing their possessions. They were losing their relationships and their social status in the community. They had no one but one another to take care of each other. And Pastor James says these words that we're going to focus on in chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James writes this when he is surrounded by and responsible for a community in crisis. They're coming to him and asking for some advice on how to deal with these hardships. And James says, all right, I got something for you. But just like somebody who writes down the recipe for you and tells you all of the secrets and when to add this and when to add that on the recipe, they do it because they have lived the experience long enough where they themselves don't need that index card to fix that meal. They just do it off the top of their head because they've lived it. That's James. And that's the approach that James wants us to listen to him from in these words. But give me a little bit of permission here. I'm going to reorder these words that James writes in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Okay? Not taking out any words, just reordering them. Here's what it would read like. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, whenever, he doesn't say if, brothers and sisters. He doesn't say if you face a trial. He says, whenever you face a trial. And he learned this from Jesus. Jesus who said, in this world, you will have trouble. He doesn't say you might have trouble. He doesn't say you can educate your way out of this trouble, buy your way out of this trouble, move your way out of this trouble. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. And James takes the same perspective. Whenever you face the trial. And that word face there, the Greek word really means surprise. When you are taken off guard, when you are surprised by the trials that are coming your way, you didn't see it coming. You didn't expect the news to come around. You didn't have expect that circumstance to shake your foundation of faith in God. When it happens, he says, when the trial comes, do this, consider it pure joy. When you add up the ledger of all of the trials in your life, when you add up the ledger of all of the difficulties in your life, and you do that, you know, equal sign, you know, at the bottom or, you know, on the side, he says, it equals pure joy. I'm going to consider this pure joy, joy that is undiluted, joy that has no preservatives added, joy that comes from God in the person of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit that the world didn't give and the world cannot take it away. Joy that is unmoved by the circumstances and the trials that we face. And then he tells you why. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He says this, you already know. When the trial comes in your life, you already know that it came in your life so that it could test your faith and produce perseverance in you. Here's what I've grown to understand in following Jesus and experiencing hardships is that trials expose the authenticity of our faith in God. I'll say it again. Trials expose the authenticity of our faith in God. And faith quite simply means our confidence in God through Jesus Christ. When trials come, they expose what we truly believe. They expose who we believe in. It exposes if we've been faking it until we make it. It exposes what we were taught as a child, whether it was really built on a solid foundation or it was built on something less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And these circumstances happen, brothers and sisters, in our lives to show us what our faith is made of. But when we put it in the context of joy, here's the main idea, that there is pure joy in discovering the authentic durability of your faith. Many of us wouldn't know where our faith is. Most of us wouldn't know where our faith truly stands if we didn't have the hardship, if we didn't have the trial, if we didn't experience the tribulation. And these things come for us to show us how strong we truly are. You think you love God? That's good, but you don't know until you've experienced some bad stuff that's happened in your life. You think that you've truly forgiven and forgiveness is good for the soul? Try to do it 10 times, 20 times to the person that keeps letting you down. You want to see love that overcomes hate? Not just conceptually or intellectually, but emotionally and in a real way. When you encounter that and you see love is the thing that perseveres, when trials, brothers and sisters, come to wash away your faith, joy is the anchor that holds you close to Jesus Christ. And there is pure joy in discovering the authentic durability of your faith. This is the kind of joy, brothers and sisters, that's not dependent on the strength of somebody else. It's not dependent on the circumstances that we find ourselves in, what we have or what we don't have. It truly just is, because it comes out of the person of Jesus Christ who gave it to us in the first place. And many of us are discovering something about ourselves that we otherwise would not discover if we didn't have the trial or the obstacle in the way. In fact, as one person said, the obstacle is the way. For the last several months, brothers and sisters, we've gone through trials of work location or constraints within the location we already found ourselves in. Schools are schooling online and at home and a little bit of both, and to some degree experiencing some kind of failure that's driving us bananas. Relationships are stressed and strained, and we're even finding out where are the true deep relationships that we have through this season of COVID-19. We've been facing trials of all kinds. Can I get an amen, somebody? Can I also ask, is there anybody who just wants to say enough? Anybody want to throw in the towel and just say, yo, I'm done? And James's advice is this: when you enter into trials of many kinds, he doesn't say throw in the towel. He doesn't say give up. He doesn't say phone a friend. He says, listen, count it all joy, because these trials come to strengthen you. And these trials are like exercise for your faith that you otherwise would not choose for yourself, but are chosen for you. God has chosen the trial that you find yourself in. And James says this further advice in verse 4, when you go through the trial, don't quit. Or what he says actually, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing or not lacking anything. He says, don't quit in the middle of your set. Don't quit and leave the gym before you're done working out. Another pastor said this: God will take you where you wouldn't go yourself to produce in you what you couldn't accomplish yourself. Ooh, that's good. I should have put that on the slide. God will take you where you wouldn't go to produce in you what you couldn't accomplish yourself. What God has allowed to happen in your life, brothers and sisters, is at the center of your life, where you draw some depth out of that centered of the trial. And it's getting your attention through prayer. It's getting your attention through scripture reading. Perhaps it's getting your attention through meditation, where God says there is something that's being matured and growing up in you. But can I get a sound check here real quick? Some of us can't consider our trials pure joy because we really aren't that mature. Ouch. To face the fact that we're not as mature as we thought we were is not an indictment on us. It's actually something to reveal to us where we need to grow next, such that when the circumstances happen, because if you got this one, trust and believe, you got another one coming on the way. And then when it comes, you look back on the one you just experienced and say, okay, I'm a little bit stronger now. I'm a little bit tougher now. And actually, I got joy that I developed from the last trial to face this next one that is coming my way. But if I'm honest, beloved and brothers and sisters, there are some preachers and some teachers right there that are giving y'all some bad advice. Advice like the size of your faith determines the size of your blessing. Please be quiet. Faith is not how we get God to do stuff. Or the more you have, the happier you will be. In fact, you deserve it because you're a child of God. Could you please stop twisting the scripture? Joy does not come from possessions. Any of the scriptures you read about joy doesn't have anything attached to the possessions that come with it. Jesus said this quite plainly. What profits a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Sorry, you got some bad advice. Or your trial is the devil's attack to tear you down as they look for somebody to blame for your hardship, when in fact it might just be a fact of life. Now, there certainly are some things that are happening to us that are beyond just the fact of life, but even those that come against us, they are building us up. And though the preacher tells you something otherwise, please turn off that channel. Put that book away. Don't even give it to anybody or sell it. Just go ahead and use it for some, you know, fall fire in the backyard. Because they are misrepresenting our God and the person of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says this: y'all ought to look to Jesus Christ, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus counted it all joy as he experienced some hardship, then I'm tired of these crooked preachers and teachers of the gospel misrepresenting the natural character and the cosmic divinity of the God that I love in the person of Jesus Christ and in the power of his Holy Spirit. Because it's honestly leading some people away from true Jesus and true Christianity. And to that, James speaks even more. He says, look, okay, I got one more thing for you. When you enter into trials of many kind, count it pure joy, because you know that this trial comes to prove your faith and to lead you towards persevering. But let perseverance have its perfect work. And then here's what he says: if you still struggle, verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. That word wisdom in the Greek literally means to see. If any of you lacks the ability to see your trial through the lens of joy, understanding that it's coming to mature you and to make you into the image of Jesus Christ, if any of you lacks the ability to see that, ask God, who will help you. God won't leave you alone. And so here's some things that I'm asking God as I encounter hardships. God, help me to see this trial through the lens of joy. God, give me strength to endure the hardship of this time. God, teach me a new song to sing. And God, connect me to others who are joyful. I put a psalm next to each one of those wisdom requests because I've been sitting in the psalms throughout this COVID-19 time. My private devotion looks like just opening a psalm, one that I haven't read yet during this season, and journaling my way through that particular psalm. This is a nice little journal. I should have brought it. Man, I didn't do that either. It's a nice little journal. All it has is blank pages with the psalm number written at the top. I read, I pray, I reflect, I respond back to God, and then I rest in that place, in that space with God through the Psalms as I seek to have joy built into the fabric of my being and not as a circumstance that's developed because something good is happening to me. Y'all remember that joyful, joyful song, don't you, from Sister Act? Y'all have put that in your Netflix queue. I don't know if it's in Netflix, but joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. There is joy that comes from the Lord. Joy that Nehemiah said to his followers that would be our strength. Joy that David said would come in the morning. And so let me close with this reflection. Is there an area in your life that you are finding it difficult to have joy in right now? Two, what specific ways can you consider it pure joy as you work through your current situation? Three, what does it mean to allow endurance to do its complete work in you? And four, what wisdom do you need from God to find joy? My brothers and sisters, let me pray for you today. In the words of James, Father, when my brothers and sisters right now who are assessing their trial, the struggle that they find themselves in right now, may they have the eyes to see it through the lens of joy. That when they're adding it up, Lord, they would count it as pure joy because this trial, this test, comes to show how durable their faith truly is, and that it is a persevering kind of faith. And God, where it isn't persevering, I pray that you would give them wisdom, God, to answer honestly. Where is there lacking joy in their life? Where is their contentment that's disrupted? And that they would give this to you, and that you would lead them on a path, Heavenly Father, to discover the joy, like that treasure that Jesus spoke about, where the man sold everything he had so he could buy the land that the treasure was on, and he was joyful to do it. God, for those experiencing heaviness and difficulty right now, Lord, I pray that you would teach them that they can have joy despite the difficulty and the hardship, and it would be a glorious witness to your name in the person of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and its shame, and is right now smiling with joy because he persevered through the greatest trial in humanity. We ask you this, Lord, to be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.